We are back. I am Brian Oxman, and you are listening to the Brian Oxman Radio Show. I've got an amazing guest for us right now. It is Professor Gary Francione. He is the distinguished professor of the Board of Governors at Rutgers Law School. I guess it's the former Nicholas DeBee Katzenbach Professor of Law and Philosophy. It's tough to be a former Nicholas DeBee Katzenbach Professor, isn't it, Gary?
Well, actually, I still am. It's just now that I've got this Board of Governors title, when you add the Nicholas DeBee Katzenbach Scholar of Law and Philosophy, it takes you 10 minutes to announce your title.
Not enough.
Edited it down to Board of Governors Distinguished Professor.
Not enough room on the business cards, right?
Exactly. You ought to see the letterhead. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Like,
well, you are the author of Eat Like You Care, An Examination of the Morality of Eating Animals, which is an unusual field for you to have directed yourself to, but it's got a certain moral twing to it that is, I don't know. When I read your book, I said, dang, he's right. And tell us a little bit about the philosophy that you teach and how you're received in teaching that philosophy.
Well, look, you know, I teach a number of things in connection with animal ethics, but, you know, the central argument of Eat Like You Care, the book that I co-wrote with Anna Charlton, is the idea that we all care about animals. We all believe that animals matter morally. Many of us live with non-human animals that we regard as members of our family, and we all agree that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering on animals. Nevertheless, you know, we kill 60 billion animals a year, land animals, and approximately a trillion sea animals every single year. And what necessity, what compulsion is there for that? And the answer is there isn't any. The best justification we have for 99.99999% of our animal use is that, you know, is they taste good, or we enjoy watching rodeos or circuses. It's pleasure. And if there is, you know, and pleasure cannot constitute a justification for imposing suffering. So the book makes the argument that that we suffer from moral schizophrenia, that we're very confused on a truly delusional level. On one hand, we say animals matter morally. On the other hand, we treat them as things that have absolutely no moral value whatsoever. And that's the central argument in a nutshell of that book. How is the work related? Well, I was the first person to teach animal rights theory in an American law school when I started my teaching career at the University of Pennsylvania.
My daughter is in her second year of law school at George Washington University, and boy, I'll bet you she would really enjoy getting your class. I think that would be an absolute thrill to be there.
Well, you know, I still teach a course. I teach several animal-related courses, but one of the really popular courses I teach is a course called Human Rights and Animal Rights that I co-teach with Anna Charlton, and we examine racism, sexism, heterosexism, and speciesism. We talk about how these forms of discrimination are all related and why they are all unjust. And it's really interesting because we get very large enrollments, even in these days where students in law schools are wanting to take more practical courses because of the job market in law being what it is. We still get a very healthy enrollment in that class, and it's a very active class. A lot of students come, they argue, they get excited, they engage ideas that they've really not engaged before about, you know, various moral issues. How is it received? Well, I can tell you, Brian, there are very few people in the world, or in my law school, who are lukewarm about what I do. You know, either they like it very much.
Emotion all over the place, isn't it?
Or they don't like it. You know, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, look, we're a society that exploits animals. And as soon as you start talking about this stuff, a lot of people get defensive. And so, you know, it does elicit that sort of reaction where people get, you know, get upset. I mean, a few weeks ago, I thought I was going to be attacked in the streets. I wrote some things about Cecil the lion.
I wanted to ask you about Cecil. Yeah, what did you say about it?
Well, what I said was, I mean, that issue, as you well know, got around the world in a matter of, like, hours, and it was just a...
Because it was so senseless. It was just, I mean, you know, okay, you have hunters. They think that hunting is a great thing. But, you know, I don't see the sense of it, Gary. Tell me, why do people think that this is okay?
Well, look, it wasn't okay. But the thing that got people upset with my position was I said, it was senseless. It was wrong. Just like the cow that you're responsible for killing because you want to eat the cow tonight, or the chicken or the fish or whatever, it's all senseless killing. The only difference is we don't give names to all of the animals that we eat. So was Cecil's death senseless? Yes. Was it any more senseless than the deaths that we as individuals are responsible for? And the answer is no. So I made the point. I said, look, people are sitting around and they're eating their hamburgers and their hamburgers or steak or fried chicken or whatever while they're condemning the guy who shot Cecil. And the guy who shot Cecil shouldn't have done that, and what he did was morally wrong, but it was no more morally wrong than what everyone is supporting who's sitting there filling their faces with animal products while they're condemning the guy. And boy, I can tell you, there were some people who said, wow, never thought of it that way. That's an interesting connection. And then there were other people who were less happy with me for making that argument. But interestingly, none of them really had a good, many people were very angry with me. I got some very, very hostile emails and calls to my office. As a matter of fact, very hostile. But nobody really had a good, nobody really was articulating a reason as to why they disagreed with me. They were just calling me names and saying that there was a difference and whatnot. But what's the difference? I mean, what is the difference? Cecil had a name. We identify, you know, we look at it, we fetishize lions and tigers and elephants and whatnot. We don't fetishize cows and pigs and chickens. But every one of those creatures is a being who is sentient, who has a personality, who has an interest in continuing to live, who has preferences, desires, and wants. They are just like us in that sense. All sentient beings have preferences, desires, or wants, and the one desire and want that they have, or the two desires and wants that they have, is they want to be free from suffering, and they don't want to die.
They want their life. It is exactly. It is a fundamental right. You are listening to Gary Francione. He is the distinguished professor on the Board of Governors of Rutgers University School of Law here on the Brian Oxman Radio Show. And Professor Francione, you are an advocate of the complete abolition of the killing of animals, killing them for sport, killing them for food, killing them for any reason. What is it that you think can be done to make that kind of thing happen? Is it practical to make that happen?
Of course it is. It's the only, look, if we really take animals seriously, as most of us do, that's the irony, Brian, is that I would bet 98%, if not more, of the people who are listening to your show would agree with the proposition that animals matter morally and it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering on them. All I'm saying is, hey, come on, let's follow through with that and recognize that if you believe that unnecessary suffering is wrong, the one thing we've got to agree is that pleasure, amusement, or convenience can't justify suffering. And that's the best, indeed the only justification we have for imposing suffering and death on billions and billions and billions of animals every year.
Now, people say that it won't work. You'll put everybody out of work. You'll put all the cattle ranches out of work. You'll put all of the slaughterhouses out of work. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I mean, that's like saying that, you know, we shouldn't stop slavery because it's going to put the slave owners out of work and it's going to put the people who are in the slave trade out of work. If something is unjust, we ought to stop it. And the reality is that, you know, all of that labor could be focused and refocused on other things that don't involve killing animals. So, I mean,
aren't there economic studies that say that it takes more greenhouse gases, more energy to raise these animals for slaughter than and that you could feed the world with what the energy is being devoted to raising animals for slaughter?
Absolutely. We feed in this country alone grain to animals that we're going to slaughter, we could feed 780 million people. It takes between 6 and 12 pounds of plant protein to produce a pound of beef. It takes 1,000, you know, I mean, it takes much more water, much more plant protein to produce animal protein. If we were all vegans, if all of us were vegans and did not eat meat, dairy, eggs, and all of the other products that are responsible for hideous suffering and death, we would be able to feed the world. So, I mean, the idea, and you mentioned the greenhouse gases. Yes, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations had come out with a study a few years ago that said that animal agriculture is more responsible for greenhouse gases than all of the petroleum we burn for transportation purposes.
Wow.
It's a complete disaster. And so I think, you know, now you said, you asked before, Brian, is it practical to say that we can eliminate this? And the answer is, yes, it is. If everybody who is a vegan today persuaded one other person in the coming year to become a vegan, in a matter of about 10 years, the entire world would be vegan. So could we, and that's really what we need. That's the solution to the problem. When you say, is it realistic to think that there's a solution? The answer is, yes, there is. We all stop eating them. We all stop wearing them. We all stop participating in the mindless violence. We all start realizing that there is no difference between the animal that we love, the animal who we love and who's a member of our family, and the animal that we stick a fork into. That once we recognize that there is no separation, and once we follow through with our own moral conviction that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering on animals, that leads us to veganism. And I do believe that this is, it's possible to change. I really do believe it's possible.
Well, I think you have a doggone good point. And, you know, I just enjoy having you on my program. You have an amazing philosophy, and we all got to take a good, hard look at it. I thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Brian. Thank you for having me.
You are listening to Professor Gary Francione. He's on the Board of Governors, Distinguished Professor of Law at Rutgers University School of Law. You're listening to The Brian Oxman Show, and we will be right back.